This is TWiT.
The FTC and the Department of Justice seek to rewrite merger guidelines. They kicked off a process on Tuesday to rewrite these guidelines. A request for comment, particularly about digital markets. So go ahead, Stacey. Why is this the story of the week?
Yeah, I just realized it wasn't on our list, which, okay, this is the story of the week because...
Well, it just happened yesterday. It just happened yesterday. Yeah, that's why.
It did just happen yesterday. Yeah. And they
we
actually
don't usually get the things until they're 3 or 4 days old.
Yeah, we like to let them percolate. I like to find out what I think ahead of time.
Until they get a nice cheesy smell, then we learn the story.
we wait for the cacio e pepe moment, and then we dive in.
Nice rind on it, yeah.
So... what they did is they put out a request for information on how they enforce mergers. And why this matters is because it's saying to the world, both the DOJ and the Federal Trade Commission are going to be looking at how they evaluate mergers. They're going to change. Well, they're looking at changing our policies. So
and
that's
in,
a big
in particular,
deal.
In the digital age, what right. used to work does not work. And I do. I think there's this bitter regret over Instagram and WhatsApp. And
I think it's not just that. I mean, look at how Lina Khan looks at what Amazon's doing. I mean, there's tons of things. So they put out this, it's a request for information. And you can get a lot for how they're thinking by looking at the types of questions they ask in this. So this is like just a 10-page document. They want everybody to talk about, like, they have some things. So they're saying, hey, the way we look at M&A, do our current guidelines really work for that? The way we measure competition, does that work? Which means we could see them look at mergers more like Europe. You know how we used to talk a lot about how in the US we wait for harms to consumers. In this document, they're actually asking, hey, does this harm not just consumers, but maybe employees? Does it harm innovation at different levels? So they're actually open. This is a big deal because they're opening up a lot of things that have been established and settled law for a long time.
I suspect.
What does that should say, Stacey?
Well, okay. Let me just say, I suspect that's what Corey's talking about when he says, wait a minute, hold on. It's not a done deal. This is not. The climate has changed.
Yeah.
But that I echo Jeff's question, which is, isn't this Congress's job?
No. So what Congress does is they write laws and then they let the regulatory agencies figure it out.
Well, I would phrase it differently. They write laws that say what the mandate is for those agencies. Those agencies can only do what congressional law has said they can do.
And I could answer this question for the FCC because that's what I've covered for decades. I can't tell you what laws govern how the FTC or the DOJ things.
My sense of it actually is that the FCC is much more constrained by what Congress says than the FTC or DOJ is. So
probably.
Yeah, this is an interesting question. And we'd have to get a governmental expert on this.
Or just give me a week. I'll learn.
Will you? Thank you.
If you want me to.
You're our expert on everything. That's the truth.
No.
I mean, it's about restraint of trade. I'm pulling up the Sherman Antitrust Act, right? And it starts off with restraint of trade.
Well, and remember, Congress
which
has been
consumer harm. It's different.
Congress has been addressing whether the Sherman Antitrust Act is good enough in this age. But it was always my sense that Congress has to decide that, not the FTC can't just say, well, you know, that Sherman Antitrust Act is outdated. We're going to do it differently. I don't know how much they can do that.
Well,
I wonder. DOJ is different because you can investigate, right? They have an investigative
mandate.
Some
of the things they're asking, so they're asking how should markets be defined when the potential harm to competition stems not from price increases, but from long-term or other non-price factors. So that's one of the things. They actually bring up the, I can never say this, Jeff, what's the word?
It's like Monopoly, but it's a monosopy.
Like the colonoscopy.
Monopsony.
Yeah, thank you.
How should the guidelines analysis of monopsony power differ from analysis of monopoly power?
A monopsony is kind of the opposite of a monopoly. A monopoly is one company that dominates a business. A monopsony is a market in which there's only one buyer for a product.
Right. And then they have a whole segment.
So it's the opposite. It's one customer instead of one seller, which is weird, but it's a big deal. Yeah.
And they also have a whole section on digital markets. So they're like, hey, how do like M&A in digital markets differ from physical markets? What does that mean? There's a lot of really good questions they're asking.
That's the question, though. These are legitimate questions. They should ask them. Then what? And I think ultimately it's a court that's going to decide this, not the FTC, not the DOJ. The court, so and the court's going to decide it based on established law and precedent, not on what the FTC thinks is. But FTC can bring a court case, so can the DOJ, but the courts are going to interpret it. And I think they're going to look at the statutes.
Well, yeah, but here's how this works. You see the same thing play out with like the FCC when they put out like a notice of proposed something. Anyway, they do the same sort of process. So the process is this: these guys are clearly indicating with this thing that they've sent out. What's it called again?
The request for comment.
Request for comment. They're saying, hey, we're thinking about this. You've got X number of days. I don't remember how many days to tell us your opinions. What they're going to do is they're going to come out from that and then they're going to create new merger review guidelines. From there, everybody's going to say, oh, crikey, this is how they're going to evaluate this. What'll happen is when they apply those guidelines, the company that's affected by it and is mad about it is going to sue. And then we'll see that lawsuit come forth and the judge will say, I'm sorry, you don't have the power to do this. It needs to go back to Congress. We actually saw this happen with net neutrality and the FCC. Or the courts are going to say, keep going. So ultimately, yes, it gets decided by the courts, but this is still a very important process because it's possible that the DOJ and the FTC make it work. And with most companies that want to be, you know, within the legal framework or with the companies that are going to be doing these deals.
I mean, if you're a tech company, this just is one more, it's just one more thing that is kind of informing you that, hey, they're looking at us, they're paying attention. And that may be the main intent of this.
No, the intent is actually to come up with new merger guidelines. The intent is not to, we're not going to leave this process with everybody agreeing that, oh yeah, everything we've been doing is still going to happen that way because it's so wonderful. We are going to walk out with new merger guidelines. Now, I don't know if we're going to walk out with things like, hey, you're going to have to undo those deals, like what the UK is trying to do with Meta and Giphy. But we are definitely going to have a new way of evaluating M&A, which is why it's such a big deal.
So according to The Hill, the FTC and DOJ were tasked during the Trump administration to look at antitrust enforcement. They spent a year and a half looking at their joint guidance on vertical mergers. They voted last fall to withdraw those guidelines on a party line vote. So maybe it's in this face of this vacuum that they want to say, well, okay, we've withdrawn our existing guidelines on vertical mergers. Now what? What should they be?
Right.
And of course, this is the Biden administration, in effect. This is the executive saying, you know, we need to pay more attention to this. I think Congress is split on this. And I don't know where the courts stand. I think I think there are a lot of question marks. It's not sufficient for the FTC and DOJ to say, no, this is the law. They don't. They just say what we're
going to
investigate.
Right. No, these are just their M&A guidelines that they're doing.
Right.
But when you're doing a deal, you do pay attention to this because let's say you want to do...
Well, you don't want to get investigated, of course. Yeah.
Well, yeah. If you're going to buy like a tiny little acqui-hire and you look at this and you're like, oh, well, now it's no longer worth it, which is why we're going to see a lot of VCs come in and talk about how, because this is going to affect their exit strategy as well. You're going to see a lot of interesting players come out and be like, no.
In the RFC, the joint RFC, they said they're particularly interested in hearing about aspects of competition that the current guidelines may underemphasize or neglect, such as labor market effects and non-price elements of competition, like innovation, quality, and potential competition. I think that's reasonable. So instead of just saying, what's the harm to the consumer? How is this going to affect prices?
All of those yield a harm to the consumer.
That's
it's
right.
It's just not in pricing.
They're
right. Well, that's what they're saying. Is our current strategy for, because that's all we use right now
right.
for our M&A is price, right. whereas the EU looks at a broader thing.
Right. Critics of antitrust, this is The Hill again, critics of antitrust enforcement over the last few decades have raised concerns of focusing solely on the effects of mergers and acquisitions on consumer prices has allowed many anti-competitive mergers to be completed freely. This is especially a point of focus for groups worried about the consolidation in the tech industry. Let me ask our tech apologist, Jeff Jarvis.
Hey. The internet defender is what
I'm sorry, defender of the internet, Jeff Jarvis. You need a little peacemaker helmet. That would be cool.
Jeff, I put in the chat a link to, and the in the doc in the chat, a link to the actual document.
Oh, here's, is this the RFC itself? That's good. That'll
yeah.
be good.
Yeah, I was also reading the Sherman Antitrust Act, but go ahead and ask your question.
Then yeah. I'll so there is, on the other hand, a strong case to be made that we should let these companies, let the free market decide, let these companies battle it out. The best case for innovation is for companies to compete as hard as they can and do the best that they can. But you think that there's, I hear Stacey groaning.
Well, surprisingly.
Is the issue that they aren't competing as hard as they can? They're just acquiring?
Well, I mean, a few things. One, as I reread Sherman, it's interesting. I mean, it's all about conspiracies and collusion and bad things behind the scenes, not purchases. Right. So there's kind of a difference in what it was aimed for was these horrible bad tactics that Rockefeller and the robber barons of the Gilded Age did. This is different. This says, okay, we've established a principle there, to Stacey's point, and now we enforce it differently. I think what's really
they're
interesting.
They're also,
though,
by the way, if you read this request for comment, they're also saying, do the guidelines properly reflect the text and purpose of the Clayton Act? They aren't saying,
I was going to say,
we're not going to replace Clayton or Sherman, but are we actually enforcing what the intent of these laws is? Are we actually doing our job?
Well, but even Clayton is about unethical business practices, price fixing, monopolies, as opposed to, that's too big, or they shouldn't be together.
Clayton right? says,
and so let me
they want to prevent mergers and acquisitions whose effect may be substantially to lessen competition. And then the FTC and DOJ say, are they sufficiently clear about the circumstances in which
right.
that happens? What effects should be covered by the terms? They're saying lessen competition. Well, how do we do that?
How do we avoid that? So the point I want to get to is to raise what you raised earlier, is that if you really could, Sherman turned the Wayback Machine to whatever year it was, and Facebook's going to buy Instagram. Instagram, small, they overpaid for
it. It's a perfect example.
There
were fewer than 20 employees. It's a perfect example.
Right. And to say, oh my God, they should have seen, compare that to Microsoft's announcement. Now, I'm not saying Microsoft's announcement is wrong either. They're number three in games. One of the new players is a Chinese. Who knows? The world changes. There's a RAND report that I call upon often from the 90s that said, yeah, we've got to let this just kind of blow out and figure it out. That trying to think that we can control it now that we know where it's ending, we know where we are, is hubris and won't work very well. And so, yes, we'll make missteps and things will go wrong, but let it play itself out more. So I think the question then becomes, we go back to our discussion of regulatory capture. And we have Facebook out there begging for regulation because they can afford it. What I fear for are the sprouts we can't see coming out of the ground yet. The competition we don't know wants to start out there because it can't. And how do you regulate to that?
So that's just a silly red herring of regulating the stuff we don't know about.
With mustard, thank you. Good for the
to say that we don't know what's going to happen, so we shouldn't regulate, is silly. We are going to mess things up. Okay, because that's what it sounds like you're saying. And
what I'm saying is the thing I care about that I do want to regulate to is to enable future competition. But what I'm saying is, because we don't know what that is, I don't know how to regulate to that. And so what happens is a lot of the regulation that occurs to date is stuff that only the big companies can afford to do and new companies can't afford to do it. And that's the unintended consequence of that regulation, is that it stifles competition because it sets the playing field at an impossible level. And so how do you regulate to avoid that is what I'm saying.
So big companies will always, always be able to handle regulation better because they simply have more money and infrastructure to do. So that is a good point, and lawyers, yes. But I think by setting out new guidelines, I don't think that hurts innovation, because what will happen is you will have a clear set of guidelines. And yes, the companies will that are big and established will play within those guidelines and manipulate them using their massive war chests and lawyers. But it also makes clear where the new innovation can come in and kind of go in the cracks. And that's how it's historically gone. So you're gonna change the field. And there are companies right now, like small companies who've been playing under the existing regime, that are going to get screwed. That always happens.
The other way they're going to get screwed, Stacey, is the other thing I fear is that, and I don't like this world where venture money controls everything, but we are still in that world. And if there isn't, if exit paths get cut off.
Well, and that's what I was talking, the venture capitalists are going to hate this. Yes,
yeah,
but
that's what I'm saying.
There will be more investment once they figure this new thing out. Venture capital is not, I know they like to think they're a leading indicator.
No, they're not.
So they're going to try to keep everything the same so they can maintain their returns, which I don't blame them. But that's also not great for innovation, because we're way down this road and we're pretty, basically all our cool stuff that gets invented to be sold to one of the big companies, sales-wise.
I have to say, reading these questions, this all seems completely reasonable. It doesn't presume an answer. It just says, well, here's some things we really need to look at. Mm-hmm. And in every case, they say, you know, consistent with what Congress and the courts have, you know, indicated.
They have to say that.
They are limited by that.
But it's also better than a knee-jerk, we got to break them up to punish them, which is what you hear.
No, this is thoughtful. Lena Khan, I think, is very thoughtful. Regarding that failing firms thing, there actually is a whole section, Section 15, on failing and flailing firms, in which they ask the question, in what situation should a weakened competitor defense apply? So, for instance, T-Mobile, which was failing, was denied a number of mergers, but eventually granted it. I think also of Sirius Satellite and XM, both of which were failing and allowed to merge, even though it created a monopoly. So they're asking about existing doctrine and how does it change? How has it changed in the digital era? And I think these are all things you want to almost constantly ask these questions. It's appropriate at this time to say, well, markets have changed a little bit. The monopsony thing is very interesting. As an example, its effect on labor markets. If there's only one company hiring, that's a monopsony. They're the only customer for labor, then labor has no recourse. They have no defense. They can't say, well, we're going to go across the street. So that's a...
And Clayton actually addresses what they call tying contracts. And that labor agreements fall under Clayton. So they have a justification for something like that.
They also talk about innovation. To what extent does a focus on product market overlaps fail to identify broader concerns about incentives to innovate, particularly given that innovation may involve the creation of new product or service categories? These are all, I think, really appropriate. Now, the question is there an answer? I think you have to acknowledge this is an imperfect system. There are going to be
50 answers.
Right.
There are going to be so many answers. And this is why we hate talking about this, because there's going to be 50 different answers depending on where you're coming from. And the FTC and the DOJ are going to have to make some calls. And they're going to be like...
And then the courts will rule,
Yeah.
So I think all of this is appropriate. So get back to Microsoft. I think maybe the fact that this came out the day before Microsoft announced the acquisition of Activision may not be a coincidence. Microsoft may have, because this is just a question right now. This isn't new policy. Microsoft may have thought, now's the time to jump on this
under the door
and get it in under the door before the door slams shut. So